It is 9:33. Joining me now is my good friend Barb Lampson, who is here to talk about gardening with me. Good morning, Barb.
Hey, Karen. Gardening. I could hardly wait to get here to talk to somebody about gardening. I'm so excited. I know that we're all waiting, you know, with bated breath, thinking, when is this going to happen? When is it going to get warm and stay warm? And that will happen soon. But in the meantime, I would encourage you to get out and explore. Oh my goodness, every day, even though it's not terribly warm, it's warmer than normal. And things are beginning to come up through the soil and are growing.
I have some yellow crocus that have come up. They showed themselves out at the lake place. But the thing was, the deer have munched most of the green parts of it around there.
Yes.
So they were just like really next to the ground. But I thought, oh, you're up. And I thought, you know what? This is really, normally I would have sprayed, well, it would have been snow covered normally.
Sure.
But I usually try to spray early when the snow melts and with the deer defeat stuff to keep the deers from eating mm-hmm. them. But of course, with this really early season, I didn't even have a chance to do that. But my daffodils are coming up. They're not blooming yet, but the crocus are blooming, and I've got tulips that are poking up, so I have sprayed those really well. Every time they grow a little more, I spray them again, because otherwise they just get eaten.
Oh, sure. Well, I haven't sprayed anything to protect them yet, but I've been running around. I have all this wire that I'm a firm believer in all these wires, and every once in a while I find that I have to dig down in my garden and wonder why something's growing so strangely.
Oh, because you lay it on top, you mean?
I do.
So then if they hit them, they got to make a little angle.
Yeah, they have to get up coming. Yeah, exactly. So then I have to kind of do a little excavating and get the leaves off. And you know, I think we both put 6 inches of compost or decomposing leaves
yes.
for mulch this year. And that's quite a bit when you start removing these things.
Well, you know it is, but I'll tell you what, those winds out at the lake, they have blown away some of those leaves. The one thing that did work, though, is I put a whole bunch of pine needles that I collected on my hostas.
Yeah.
And those stay in place for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, the winds were so strong.
That's great.
But that's why I love the pine needles. A lot of the leaves were still there because they were kind of starting to decompose and things.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll make great compost for coming year.
Yeah. If anything that's organic that you put on and spread it as compost, yeah, it's going to improve the soil, that organic matter. It's strange, and we've talked about this before, but it's really hard. You can't put too much organic matter in the soil. I mean, I can't imagine how you would ever do that, because you don't ever want to bury your plant in organic matter, and you want to just work it in or lay it on top of the soil and let it decompose naturally. And as you plant and add annuals and take out the old annuals and things like that, it gets worked in. So I can't imagine that you would ever get too much, but I suppose if you really tried, you could.
You could probably anything in excess. Hey, I was looking at the U.S. Drought Monitor for Minnesota, and things are not looking good at all, and you and I who have been out a little
right.
bit understand this. I was looking at it from this morning, which was, let's see, this was released Thursday, which was yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and we are now in abnormally dry to moderate drought. So it keeps expanding across the state. There are a couple that are in extreme drought in far, far southeastern Minnesota, and then up in northwestern parts of the state, there's severe drought. So it is not looking good right now. And if we don't get some rain, you know, you and I have chatted about this, it's going to be very tough because,
I mean,
the farmers are not going to have those reserves like we usually do when the snow melts down.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, yesterday I was watering one of my perennial flower beds, and I was using the watering can, And I'd made a few trips with that, going back in the house. My watering can doesn't fit under the spigot, my water spigot.
Oh, sure.
But when I get the hose on there, then it works.
Right.
But so I'm going back and forth. And David said, wouldn't it be a lot easier if I hooked up the hose for you? And I said,
well, yay! Of course it would. Yes.
Thank you, David. Yes, it would. Of course it would.
But you know, if we get one of those cold, cold nights, though, you want to make sure you don't have it out there, because if you freeze them, then they can break.
He already took his hoses back in again.
Oh, good day.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm afraid he has to do these things. I didn't think of it myself. I should have, strung it out in the lawn and made sure all the water was out and then rolled it up.
But, well, I did that in the fall.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't want to do it again.
Yeah, that's what I had thought before. But I watered really well. And
now, where your whole garden area, or because you've got a lot of area?
No, I was, in front of my house where I have that faces south.
That you just replanted from, it was all those older shrubs.
Yeah, I took them out, and it's all very nice, loose, organic soil in there. And I dug down about 8 inches. It was dry.
That so, far down, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So I watered, and it just felt so good to be out there watering. I couldn't believe it. A couple of people that were driving by slowed down. I think they wanted to ask me if I recommended that. But, here's the thing, people. This is new things that we're doing now. I've never had to water here the first part of March. So
unprecedented, as they say.
Yeah, yeah. So,
anyway. Well, and the thing is, you and I both have some extensive gardens, too, that you really can't do it all, and I don't want to have to. So,
no.
I'm just kind of concerned about what it's going to...
This front garden of mine is where the tulips and the daffodils are, and I've got the short hyacinth in there. I've got the ones that are the grape hyacinth.
The little muscari also, yeah.
Okay, and I have the bigger ones in there, and they're putting up their heads, so that's really nice. So I wanted to keep them watered, or at least help them to grow. I don't want them to die. And I was thinking about that as I was coming in this morning. if I hadn't watered trees and shrubs and perennials last fall,
same here,
I'd be worried. I would really be worried if we don't get rain pretty soon. I would definitely take my hose out of storage and I'd go out and water. It's dry.
Yeah,
it's
and
really dry.
With trees and things, you do it around the drip line, not just right. Don't just put it by the trunk, because that's not where all the roots are.
And we usually value trees, especially if you've been nursing something long for 5 or 6 years. So we make sure that we water them really well before they go into winter. But a lot of times the perennials, you think, oh, they're fine. I mean, it's fall. It's going to start raining. It's going to rain every other day.
Right.
We won't be able to do anything. But nope, that didn't happen this year.
And last year, if you recall, we had a ton of snow, and we didn't even get in the garden until it was sometime late April, I think it was.
It was. As a matter of fact, last year on April 15th, we had a snowstorm. I found that in my notes. It wasn't a big one, but we had snow then. So now we've had, it is strange. No moisture, no snow. And there aren't too many articles being written about the drought condition that we're in.
I mean, they have the maps of that showing
sure.
it, but in terms of watering and things, we haven't been hearing much about it. So, I think you're right. And if it is going to be a real low freezing night, you do need to be careful so you don't let your hose freeze, too. So it's kind of a extra work.
Yeah, that is so true. So I've been out in my greenhouse, and I've been thinking, it will warm up when the sun is out in the daytime. But, by 5:30,
it's cool.
It's cold in there.
Sure.
It is as cold as can be. You can't, without heat, it's just not, you can't risk putting plants out there. I think it's going to be a while before we have warmer nights.
Well, I have all my elephant ears potted up now, and I have my daffodil tubers. potted up now so they can hopefully break dormancy. I think this weekend I'm going to spend planting some seeds of things that I want to transplant outside.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, yesterday in the mail, I got my University of Minnesota Extension trial seeds for the Master Gardeners that they asked to trial.
Yeah,
and
right.
By the way, they just listed last year's trial results from the 2023 year, and I was going to actually talk about some of that. So this is what they have: people across the state, all mm-hmm. different growing conditions, all different areas, and they give us six different packets of seeds of different of the same thing. So like in my case, it's the sprouting broccoli.
Okay.
And another year I took the sunflower. So they'll give you different varieties, but they're labeled like A, B, C, D, E. So you have no idea what these are. So, you know, you're not preconceived notions on
sure.
this. And then they tell you basically how to plant them.
Sure.
And all that sort of thing. And then you have to take meticulous notes about, you know, did it, if it was a flower, did it have a fragrance? Was it a good fragrance? How tall did it get? Did it right. have problems with insects or disease or things like that? And then at the end, they take all those answers from all the people that have gathered these, and they put it in a report so you can say what's the best. And they just came out with the best seed trial results. And I'm going to see if I can bring some up, because they had for tomatoes, for example.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, this is so important for people, especially if they're just beginning to garden. They haven't had a lot of experience. And those recommendations are really, really great.
Right, and they've done it, because didn't you do this way back?
Yeah.
What did you test way back when?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've been a master gardener for 40 years.
Yeah, that's a way to...
So, and they've been doing this the whole time. So I would have to say, you know, it's lost back there in history someplace. But I would test every summer. And then finally, I just decided, you know, this is good experience for the other master gardeners.
Yeah, let them. Well, that's why I decided to try it, because it's new for me.
Yeah, right.
So, for example, this year's report from 2023, last year they tested pole beans, mm-hmm. which, you know, I planted before, and they tell you, you know, they have all six different varieties. They tested, what is this, butter daisy, which I didn't even know what that was. It's also known as Melopodium. It's a flower. To me, it looked like a creeping zinnia, but I wasn't familiar with this. So that one was tested. They tested, let's see, that's that one. Okay, hold on. They tested mustard greens, which I have no interest in because I don't like mustard greens. I don't know if you do or not, but.
No.
Yeah, me neither. they tested the, this one I thought was interesting, paste and sauce tomatoes.
Yeah.
They did a summary of reports, and some of them you may have heard of, Barb. The number one that they found that was the best for last year from the test was Cipolla's Pride, C-I-P-O-L-L-A, Pride. So that was the best. I haven't heard of that one.
And what vegetable was that?
This is the tomatoes. Sauce and paste tomatoes. And another top one was the orange banana paste tomato, which I hadn't heard of before, but it's a beautiful kind of an orangish.
I've seen that in the seed catalog.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah, but I've never, you know, I kind of like red, I like to look at a red tomato. There is something in my mind that when it's bright red, it's going to be juicy and delicious. And these a green with red stripes and all these multicolored ones now, they don't turn my crank at all.
I mean, this is based on taste and production, so I'm just telling you. Number three was Jersey Devil for the tomatoes.
Sure.
I don't know that one either. Number four was Polish Linguica. I haven't heard of that one. This one I have heard of. Number five was San Marzano. And then 10 Fingers of Naples was number six, and that was not the best one. So,
okay, can I give you my favorite?
Yes.
This is after gardening all my life. Celebrity is my favorite tomato.
It is, okay.
It is my number one favorite.
Now, is that for sauce or just...
For slicing, or you can either way, that they actually do... come in all about the same time.
Okay.
It's not a slow grower that ripens slowly and get a few now and a few later. I like to, because I freeze tomatoes and I also can them, I like to get a whole big batch at one time. I don't want to go out and pick a couple today and a couple tomorrow.
See, that's kind of how I do it. You know, I like, and you and I both agree that the cherry tomatoes, we like the tomato berry, one of our favorite for flavor.
Good.
But they keep coming on, so you can just munch them now and then.
Yeah,
and that's good.
You know, there's no waste with those cherry berries. I like them too, because how often is it that you want to have a salad at, like, say, for lunch or for a meal?
Yeah.
And you don't want to cut up a big, beautiful tomato for that. You just would like a couple of these little berries, you know, put them on
there.
Pop
them
on. It's just perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
Another one that they tested last year was the cleome. I've never grown cleome. They're a flower.
I love cleome. It's spider plant. I grow it every single year in my garden.
Oh.
It's perfect. As a matter of fact, the bees just love it.
Well, you should look at the, they have the six ranked, and they have the mauve queen is number one, the rose queen number two, sparkler rose three.
I've raised rose queen.
Okay, and then cherry queen is a tie for fourth place, and the solo is another one. And the last one was the Rocky Mountain bee plant. And this one did not rank well at all. So it said it didn't fare well. The germination of Rocky Mountain bee plant was 3%.
Wow.
That's really bad. So if you have,
Yeah, 97% of your plants wouldn't grow.
Yeah.
You'd be there with three plants. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, so this is the cool thing about these trials is all these people put their averages together. There's also basil that they ranked last year. And let's see, red carrots. So I encourage you to look if you're saying, well, I don't know what's the best carrot, red carrot.
Right.
Go to the University of Minnesota under seed trials, and you can Google from previous years, and the results will be there. And I just think it's such a great way to maybe select if you're really confused.
Yes. You know, the first year that I did the seed trials, you didn't get to select then. That they
gave you whatever seed you,
They sent. And the thing that I absolutely hated was string beans.
Oh!
I had string beans every possible. I had pole beans. I had bush beans. I had everything. And I said, David, I just hate these beans. And they grew so great. I mean, they were just so prolific. And I'm keeping my journal.
And you're supposed to weigh them and how many the harvest gets.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my God.
And it was just, I did all this. And then I decided, well, David likes them. I can at least cook them, or I can stir fry them, or I can do something.
But how many? That's a lot of beans.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? The thing was, after a while, I mean, they were so prolific. After a while, I decided I could probably eat a few. And then what I did was I found a recipe for putting them in a cold salad.
Oh.
So you cooked them, and then there was a vinaigrette salad dressing thing that went on them with some other things. And I really liked them. And then I found out that if you didn't cook them to death, you know, I was cooking them like my mother always had them on the stove, they're cooking and steaming.
Or when you had them in elementary school when they were so overcooked, they were like mush.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
And then they're not good then.
And you always saw them in the kitchen. They were opening up those enormous cans.
Yes.
It had green beans in it.
And they look grayish.
Oh, yeah, just terrible. And they're rubbery, and that was awful. But anyway, as a result of doing that test, I found out, you know, I like green beans.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So there's something to be learned from exposing yourself to something that you don't like, absolutely don't like.
Well, I am going to be having this broccoli sprouting out of my ears because, you know, you have to plant six different varieties, and
sure,
I have all these seeds, so you'll have to come over. You know, this is the kind of broccoli that doesn't form just one big head.
Right.
It keeps having little sprouts, and I've grown that before, and I really like it. But I thought, well, maybe I should do this because there's six different varieties. Maybe I'll find the one I really like. And mm-hmm. then you can just keep picking all season long versus one big head, and then it's gone.
Yeah. I have tried that. I have raised that. I think it's fine. I found that the heads that it made, these little ones, I liked a bigger head.
You did. Okay.
I go out and I think, wow, look at this. You know, cut it, take it back, and I would wash it up, and then I would freeze some of it, and I would cook some of it right away. And I just really like those big heads that you're dealing with.
Well, Will, you'll probably be getting some offered to you, as will other people, because I'm having a feeling there's with six different varieties when I normally only have a couple plants.
Right, right. They'll be really prolific.
And maybe the food shelf will take something like that.
You know, the most important thing is that you've got something that isn't attracting the bugs that love them, and especially
those worms. The moth, the cabbage? Wait.
Yeah. Is that in that family.
Yeah.
It's in that cabbage moth.
And they
moth.
Have the little green worms, and oh, they're gross.
Yeah, those are terrible. Absolutely terrible. They just turn me off.
Well, too. I know you can put, and I might have to do this since I'll have this whole bunch of them, like a netting, so they can't lay their little eggs on there. So
right.
Maybe I'll have to have one of those, and I've got a bunch of netting that I've used for...
I'd get them on there. When you plant them.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I'll transplant them. I'll be putting them into seed right now.
Okay, so when you transplant them, I cover them with the net, because it's that moth that comes, lays its eggs, and then all of a sudden, you have those worms. They are so timely when they come and lay their eggs, so that they're young, that your plant is just prime for them to start eating on it.
And a lot of times, because they start so small, you don't notice them until it's like, oh, what's happening?
Yeah. You know, I was going to tell you about Alaska. I was talking to my son last night. He said they had so much snow, and they've had so much snow all winter long. And in their blue spruce, the branches are covered with snow. And the birds, he has nuthatches and a lot of other types of birds that come. They can't get at the pine cones or the spruce cones because everything is covered with snow. It's so heavy.
Is he going out there shaking the branches?
No, because you'll break them off.
Oh, sure.
You have to be so careful. Yeah. And then it's cold besides, and then they just snap. So he's been going out and put up more bird feeders.
Oh, nice.
And I tell you, he is such a, one night he called me and he said, well, Mommy said, you know, I should have been on my day off. I should have done some cleaning in my house. But the birds were so delightful. I just sat and watched them the whole day. He's got them. He lives in a house that's up on stilts because he's by the mountains and they have the avalanches.
Oh, okay.
And so he has this, what would you call it? Not a veranda, but so his porch is up high then.
Like a deck kind of thing?
Yeah, it's like that. And then it has the railings on it. And then right across from it is this tree. And then he has these bird feeders and he has them hanging other places. And he just comes outside and he has bird seed in both hands, puts his hands out on the railing, and they just come and eat.
Oh my gosh. What kind of birds does he have? Like the same we have pretty much?
I think he calls them red pole. The red poles, and he has nuthatches, and he just has a whole variety of different birds. And he said, as a matter of fact, they've been so hungry, they're eating more than normal, and they brought in a whole batch of babies. His batch got bigger, so he's like, he's got a couple hundred birds that come to his feeders now that they've had babies and they brought them over. So he lives in this little tiny ski town, and so he has to go into Anchorage, which is 45 miles away, and there he goes to the elevator and he buys bird seed in huge quantities. And so he said the last day that he fed them, he had to ration them. And he came outside onto the deck and they came flocking in because they knew their feeder was going to be filled, and he just had modest amount to go in there. He felt so bad for them. So the next day was his day off, and he went into town and he got an abundant supply, because for some reason there aren't as many people feeding birds out there now, and because of all the snow cover that they've had, I mean, the birds just can't get at like the trees, the spruce and the pine, to get the the food off from them that they normally get.
He takes after somebody I know.
Yeah.
Named Barb Lamson. Wow, imagine that.
Yeah, can you imagine? And you know what? All the kids love gardening and love the outdoors. And now we have this great-grandchild, and I'm hoping that she will be just as gung-ho about being outside as the grandchildren and our children were. It's just so much fun to introduce kids to nature.
You know, I wish mine would be more interested, but, you know, you just never know.
You know, I'll tell you, I have to credit. We used to have a greenhouse on the way out to St. Clair, and I would always go out there and buy my plants. And this wonderful lady, she would always tell our kids, "Now go pick out a flower for yourself, and that's your gift from me to you." And you know, it was always pansies for both of them. And they would pick out their little container of pansies.
Okay.
They'd bring them home. They had their own little shovel, and they would plant them. And they had their own watering bucket, and they are little. Not bucket, but
watering can,
and they would water, and every year they did a little more and a little more, and they loved it, and they still do. So
that's great.
There you go.
All right, I know, that's wonderful. Well, my son, you know, got interested in breeding and crossing,
isn't that
lilies,
yeah,
which is really amazing. And I never had more than just a couple of maybe Asiatic lilies, and now I've got hundreds.
Yeah, isn't
see,
that
that's
wonderful?
The thing with your kids, you never know what you're going to get into.
That's true. And then they start giving you these things for your birthday. My birthday's in October. It's perfect for getting all these bulbs. So I got new ones again this fall from Chad for my birthday. I can hardly wait for them to bloom to see what I'm getting. So I'm kind of just, I could buy some more for myself, but I'm kind of just waiting to see. Like Chad said, oh, it's such an easy gift to buy.
Right, especially if you have a gardener in your
life. Right,
that is
right.
For certain. Will you be planting any seeds anytime soon? Or
no.
You're not starting any, okay.
I just don't think so. There might be better conditions up on top the hill at the vegetable garden at Good Counsel, because it's open up there. We get good wind up there, and if it's really nice and dried off up there, and we can get in and work, that would be the first thing that we do.
Oh, I'm talking about planting indoor.
Oh, indoor.
Yeah, do you do that at all? Because I'll be doing the broccoli now, and the if I do any lettuce at all, and things, wait a little bit for things like at the end of the month, maybe like the peppers. But tomatoes, you wait till probably more April-ish.
Yeah. We don't know, but even April might be
too early for them.
Yeah, really is. Yeah. So I did plant in my cold frame. I've got...
Oh, your husband planted radishes, by the way.
Yeah, I planted radishes. Mm-hmm. French breakfast is one that I really like. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one that's, it's a round and globe, I think it's called, something like that.
Okay.
And I like those two. And also, I planted dill, and I planted some garlic bulbs in that cold frame that I had some. I didn't buy them. I had some that I had raised last year and hadn't used. So that's, you can just keep perpetuating them. It's really great.
Yeah.
And so, but now I'm pretty much going to be just, just staying out of the garden.
Well, we've talked about it being dry. So people, are we contradicting ourselves? We say stay out of the garden because you don't want to trample it down, but right. It's so dry. So can you not? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. Because it's been so dry, a lot of your perennials aren't coming through the way that,
right.
Starting to come up. And if you walk in there, now I have stakes up for things, but...
So you don't step on them, yeah.
Yes, but you only know, is this the front or the back?
Exactly.
What does this represent?
Exactly.
You know?
Or sometimes they seem to shoot off a little further one way or another, too.
Yeah, right. So I would say just observe it from the yard. Don't go tromping in there.
And don't be raking. That's the other thing I know, because when it gets like this, so many people, because then you kill all the tiny little baby grasses and things that are trying to come up. So that's just not a good
thing. And you know what else you kill? all those different good insects that hibernated there over the winter. You do that with a rake in your garden, and that those eggs that were laid in there, you'll just destroy them. So don't do that, whatever you do.
Yeah. So, you know, we're out of time, obviously. It's past 10. I didn't even realize we... It's always so fun to talk to you, Barbara. It's just like time.
It's fun to talk to you, too.
Yes.
And we're so happy to have our listeners. Yes. And, of course, as always, if our listeners have a problem or if they have a question about anything, give Karen a call.
Yeah, and
email.
If I don't know, I turn to Barb a lot because there's a lot of... You've been doing this a lot longer than me, so...
Well, you never know enough.
Right, you can't. Well, thank you, Barb. It's so great to have you on.
Thank you, Karen.